blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. Psalter 203, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the third chapter of the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 3. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ruth chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. She went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. And then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, we try to draw nigh to thee in the afternoon hour of this thy holy day, wherein we may come for a second time to be gathered around thy everlasting word. And thou didst say, heaven and earth it shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And as we have considered in this morning, and that everything that is here below is but temporary, and that it is passing away, and that thy church does look for a new heavens and a new earth according to thy promise, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, that this, thy word that shall never pass away, may become the object of our hope and of our expectation. Lord, wilt thou give us then to search therein, that we also and our dear children may receive that in our soul that is lasting, and that is a beginning here of that eternal life that shall never die. Oh, give us a desire, give us a longing, give us a hungering and a thirsting after the true and the living God. O Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And we also are but those who soon will die. But thy word, and that will go forth even to the end of this world, wilt thou give it in the midst of us as a congregation, as a denomination, to thy servants in and among our own people, and over the length and the breadth of this whole world, that it may be opened unto us, that we also may be given to open it unto others, and that in such a way we may be but a little instrument for the bringing forth of thy kingdom here below. And Lord, wilt thou look on us this day when we have come to thy house to hear thy word explained? Oh, give, and that our hearts may go out to thee with holy longings, hungerings and thirstings in this afternoon hour. That is a work of thee, Lord. We hunger and thirst for nothing but the world, for nothing but our own honor and glory. for nothing but our own welfare here below. We are such fools, and we have left thee in paradise, never to return. But thou can in one moment give that new life, oh, that will go out in true longings for the true and for the living God. Remember young and old alike as we travel together to that never-ending eternity. Remember also thy own people in all the needs and the cares, not only of this life, but in the warfare of their soul. Lord, wilt thou teach their fingers to fight and their hands to war, and make them faithful in that battle, and that thou would keep them from falling, that thou may keep them from falling away, and wilt thou give them instruction in the way of free and sovereign grace. Oh, that thy leadings may be evident in the midst of our congregations, and that thou would give in the midst of thy people an increase and a growing in the knowledge of grace, and that they may become more and more unworthy and wretched in themselves, and that free and that sovereign grace may become more and more necessary, precious and suitable unto them. Oh, that many may as leprous ones, as blind and as lame ones, as publicans and as sinners, that they may come to see the blessed suitability in the dear Son of God. All who came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, then those two fit together, Lord. Then thy name is glorified. Then thy grace is magnified in the conversion of sinners, in the salvation of the lost. Then it will be by beginnings here, a small beginning of that true obedience, a small beginning of that eternal song, which will be forever and forever, in perfection sung in eternity, that song of Moses and the Lamb. Lord, remember us together. Be with all afflicted ones that have needs in the mind or in the body. Wilt thou supply for all the needs of this life, when it is experienced by some more than others, and the consequences of sin in this world, and that it may be for the leading to true repentance. Remember all the children, the boys and girls, the young people of our congregation. Lord, wilt thou cause them to see in the days of their youth that all things here below are passing away, that they might seek in their youth their Creator, that they may seek that treasure where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break not through nor steal. Remember the school, principals, teachers, and all those that labor therein, and all that may be instructed therein, and those that are instructed in other places also. Lord, remember us together as congregations, as a denomination. Be with our government in all the needs and in all the cares. Lord, strengthen those that make decisions on our behalf. Oh, give us a place also to hold up our hands to thee, that thou may strengthen them, and that thou may give them to walk in a right pathway, and that thou would give us rulers who may truly repent from sin, and cause us as a nation to return to thy laws and to thy testimonies. Wilt thou be with all that are afflicted in various ways, all that may be handicapped, all that those that may be blind, lame, deaf, and dumb, all that have crosses that are known to thee between thee and themselves, and that many times they cannot share with others in this life, all that thou may be experienced to be a God not afar off but close by. Remember us also further in this day, in this thy holy day, Lord, when we are to bring once again thy holy word in the midst of this flock, and that according to our forefathers' instruction, which is such a precious instruction, Lord, thou hast taught them, so we can read it in our Heidelberg Catechism. But wilt thou teach us too? Oh, that thou may give us that same grace. Well, wilt thou lead us in that same way that thou leadest all thy people, and that so thy name may receive all the glory and all the honor. Help us in this labor. Keep us from ourselves. Keep us from sin. Take away what is of self and give a blessing from on high. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee, I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. We announced that at the last song, the extra collection today, that is for the learning and living. Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. Congregation, we have stayed a little while at Lord's Day 7. And for what reason? Because Lord's Day 7, it speaks about faith. And faith that is such a blessed and also a necessary thing in the life of the true church of God. And why is that? That is because it is the way in which the salvation of the Lord is received in the life of God's people. Therefore, Paul says, it is by grace that you are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. We know that faith that is not given to the whole world, we have heard that. We heard also that there are many that are rejoicing in this world in a faith which will not be of value when they come to eternity. We heard this also. We heard that there is also several aspects concerning faith, knowledge, assent, and trust. But now in this afternoon, then we wish to consider something further, and that is that faith also has its several objects. What does that mean? Faith believes, but faith also doesn't merely believe, but it believes something. Thus, all faith that has a certain object, and there is in our days especially much confusion concerning the object of that true saving faith. That is, that many say to believe, but that they are not able to say, to explain what that they believe. But when that faith is true and when that faith is genuine, then even the smallest acts of faith, then that man, that woman, that boy or girl, they are able to speak also about the object of that faith, what they may be given to believe, and also what they are not able to believe. And this we wish to address as we can read it in Lord's Day 7 again, and then questions 22 and 23. Lord's Day 7, questions 22 and 23. Question 22. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? Answer: all things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. Question 23, what are these articles? And these we read every Sabbath afternoon. Thus, our theme that is the object of true saving faith. And we wish to see that in this afternoon first, as it is manifested in the life of Ruth, and second, as it is experienced in the life of God's church. The object of true saving faith, first, as it is manifested in the life of Ruth, and second, as it is experienced in the life of God's church. We do not believe, congregation, that every one of God's true church is led in precisely the same way in this life. In other words, we know that there is a great variety in the way of experience of God's true people. When we would ask a Timothy, when we would ask a Saul of Tarsus, when we would ask a Samuel, when we would ask a Manasseh, all to say something of the way that the Lord has led them in their life, and then we would hear a greatly differing circumstances. And yet, there are points on which every one of these explanations, they will converge, that they all will come to agree, and points in which they will not differ. How can that be? That is because there are steps in that life of grace wherein the Lord is leading every one of his own children. And how is that? In the end, the Lord is going to receive all the honor and all the glory from every one of his own children. That is not true of you and I when we are in our natural state. But in the working of God's Spirit, then the Lord has one purpose, and that is to glorify himself in the salvation of his church. And therefore, for example, then every one of that people, they will have to come in the dust. Every one of them will have to be emptied. Every one of them will have to be brought low. Every one of them will have to be brought to an end. Every one of them, they must be brought to some knowledge of what that salvation is by free and sovereign grace. Thus, there is a way. There is a way that the Lord is leading every one of his children so that he may receive all the honor and the glory. And then there are certain things which the Lord is causing his people to believe. And that life of Ruth, that is really so clear that we would like to use that as a little illustration in this afternoon concerning the objects of that true and saving faith. Every one of that true church receives faith. That is a gift of God. When is that? That is in the day, that is in the moment of that new birth. But that faith, that must also manifest itself. That will also show itself in the life of the people. Thus, at what point was faith planted in the heart of Ruth? That was when she was down in that land of Moab, when she was a heathen woman, when she was serving the idols of Moab. The Lord spake to Ruth through that life of Naomi. And when the Lord planted that faith, what do you think it was, boys and girls? What do you think it was? That is the object of faith. What do you think it was that Ruth first began truly to see and truly to believe in her heart? Then when she saw and she heard Naomi, and she saw all what her parents served and what she had served in her life, then for the first time in her life, she began to believe that the gods of Moab were no gods at all. Thus, she began to see that it was not the gods of the Moabites, but it was the God of the Israelites that was the true God. Did she know so much about that God? No. Because she lay in such an ignorance, being taught so different a religion in her youth. But she saw and she began in that moment to believe, though she knew not so much of him, but to believe that he is the true God. Thus, it is the God of Israel that became that first object of faith in the life of Ruth. And then she began to love that God. Oh, then she began to miss that God. Then she began to desire communion with that God of Israel. And then one thing became the greatest misery in her life. What was that? That she was without that God in this world. There came a time that Ruth had to make a choice. That was to leave Moab and to seek that God of Israel. That was a great step in her life. Because she had to leave father and mother, and brothers and sisters, and relatives and friends, and all her former religion. Then she had to go to a place wherein she was a complete stranger. Naomi says, no more husband, no more family. When you come to that place, thus, in an outward way, an impossibility for our flesh. For Orpah, it was impossible. And yet, Ruth may make that choice. How? It was by faith. If she had never believed, truly believed, that God of Israel was the true, was the living God of the heavens and of the earth, or then she could never have gone in such a way. Thus, that true faith that is planted in her heart, that true faith that has been tried at that border, and that true faith that has come forth as gold in the life of this woman already. When hunger prevailed, where do we find Ruth? We find Ruth gleaning in the fields behind the reapers, and her hap, we read, was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. She did not realize that. She did not know to whom that this field belonged. But in this way, she begins to glean. How? As a missing person. As a lover of that God of Israel. As a lover of the people of Israel. But for herself, she was no Israelite. No, she was in herself a Moabitess. Nor did she know any way wherein it was possible that she may become an Israelite, although she was so jealous of that people. And then even when she could never be an Israelite, or when she could never be one of that people of the Lord, oh, then she goes to that field, or she wants to be with those reapers. That is, in a way of hunger, that even if she would never be an Israelite, that she desired to be among the Israelites. Oh, that was a manifestation of that true saving faith. That faith in that God of the Israelites. And what is that doing? That is bringing Ruth in the way. That is bringing her in the way, in that place where she may receive a blessing. Unexpectedly, so much changes one day in that life of Ruth. And what brought about that change, that was the appearance of Boaz. He arrives in that field and he sees Ruth and he speaks of Ruth, about Ruth to the reapers, but he also speaks unto Ruth. We read he speaks kindly to her. We read he invites her to eat with the reapers. Thus, she receives gifts out of that hand of Boaz when still she does not even know who that this Boaz is. And she comes home. And when she comes home and her mother-in-law asks her, "With whom hast thou wrought today?" Then she is informed by her mother-in-law that this man is your near kinsman. And congregation, then we can understand how in one moment that everything is changing in that life of Ruth. Because in that moment, then suddenly, then there is a way that is opened for Ruth the Moabitess, that she also may become, actually become, one of those Israelites. Oh, before there lay such a desire, yes, but now there is something else. Now there is also suddenly a possibility. Thus there is a hope that begins to well up when she hears that this man is that near kinsman. Oh, then she has, as it were, a new cry, that is within her heart. And a new yearning that was never there before. And what was that? Well, for the first time, then she begins to yearn not only after the God of the Israelites, but for the first time she begins to yearn after Boaz. Seeing, hearing that he is the one by whom that it is possible for her to receive that desire of her heart, that she may also become one of that people. Thus, Boaz himself becomes the very special object now of that faith of this Ruth that is new, that was not there before. Not that that faith was not true before. Oh, it was very true. And the end of her desire, that is still the same. But now there is a new desire added onto it. And that is new only after this Boaz has shown himself, after he has revealed himself in the life of this woman. Thus, we go step by step. And we have to do that this afternoon very quickly. But we go step by step in that life of Ruth. Different objects of faith. Different steps in the leading of the Lord. There comes a time that it again becomes so different in that life of Ruth. When was that? And we have to go over that quickly. But that was in the day that she was married unto this Boaz. In that day, then she may come to embrace this Boaz. In that day, then she may actually become, by marriage, in a lawful way, in the sight of the Lord, an Israelite indeed. Know then, Boaz, you understand that, boys and girls, then your father, he is not always at home either. And sometimes he is gone. Well, that Boaz, then he is not always in that home, and that she may dwell with him moment by moment. No, but when she is married to him, whether he is absent or present, then that Ruth, she may say, he is mine and I am his. And then she may receive what our instructors in our catechism say is our only comfort in life and in death, to know that I am not my own, but that I belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that was not only in the life of Ruth, but so that is also in the life of God's whole church. That is our second thought in congregation. And then we understand, as it was in her life, so it is in their life, that everything is not experienced in one day. That there are steps in their life. And then our instructors are asking here, what is then necessary for a Christian to believe? And what do they mean by this? Then they are not asking about all the things that are necessary for a Christian to believe, because there are also many things that are necessary. We heard that. It's necessary, for example, that we would have historical faith, although that is not sufficient. then he is not speaking here about the fact that it is necessary to know what our misery is, what our fallen state is. That is necessary too. We heard that also. But when our instructors are asking what is then necessary for a Christian to believe, then they are speaking about that special object of true saving faith. They are speaking about that object of faith which is giving hope. That hope of eternal life in the life of that people. They are speaking about that object of faith that is giving the knowledge of salvation in their life. That is giving the peace, that is giving the rest within their heart. And now if we go back in that life of Ruth, where does that take place? That this Ruth, that she may receive that hope in her life. That hope for her own case, not only for others, but that it may also be for her. Then it is that she may receive that hope in that day that Boaz reveals himself unto her in that field, and when she may find out that he is the only way. There is a time that in the life of God's people, the Lord Jesus Christ is becoming the special object of faith. And when is that? That is when he is revealing himself unto their soul. Does faith not exist before that moment? Certainly. Because that faith that is planted in that day of regeneration. But in that moment, the Lord Jesus Christ is not the object of that faith yet. No, we have heard something of it. Then that word of God that becomes the object of that faith. Then God himself becomes the object of that faith. And then that longing for him that is born within their soul. And that is the beginning already of that true saving faith. Although that people cannot in that moment count themselves among that true people of the Lord. The law of God that becomes also one of the objects of the faith of the people. The demands of that law. And what does that law do? That law that shuts me out because I am a Moabitess. And there is no coming around that law. But now that greater Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is not yet the object of the faith of the people. Why not? It is impossible. They do not know him. Oh, sure they know him with their mind. But you know, young people, then we have said it over and over, that true saving faith, that is not of the mind. No, that is an experimental faith. And thus also that knowledge of that greater Boaz, that is not just a learning of our mind, no. But it must be that he reveals himself in the life of God's people. Before that time, do that people then have any comfort? Oh, yes. Then there are times, there are seasons, by which they are comforted, because the Lord is upholding the people while they are upon the fields of that greater Boaz. As they are gleaning in that field of His word, of His ordinances, oh, sometimes that love of God that can be so poured out in their soul that is making them cleave ever more closely unto Him and driving home ever further that blessed choice by grace, and that they may feel and that the Lord, that He is the living God. Oh, sometimes they can be so glad with the abundance that they may receive in the house of God. Oh, then sometimes the Lord gives them to hear their name. The Lord sometimes gives them food that they may take home with them, that they may meditate on them. Oh, that the Lord can fill them so with the things of God to even make the established people of the Lord jealous. Oh, yes, they have comforts. But they remain outsiders. With all their comforts, they remain outsiders. They are still strangers. They are still Moabites. They think they can never be one of God's children. It is impossible, and yet they long for it. And you know, young people, that is why they are here, Sabbath after Sabbath day. That they say, oh, if I can never be one of them, then still I want to sit among them. Still I want to be with them. Oh, still I love them. And still I love the God of that people. So their place is never empty. Oh, no. Do they have comforts? Oh, yes, they have sometimes comforts. But they remain outsiders. Some of the English divines, we think especially about Solomon Stoddard, they do not call this to be saving faith. And why not? Because it is not yet a faith which has Christ as its object. And so instead of calling this saving faith, then they are calling this a preparatory work. That is because it is not yet experienced in the heart of that people to be saving. That they may know something of that free and sovereign grace that is not yet there. Our Dutch forefathers, they do not disagree in a certain way. That is, they do not disagree that it is necessary that we receive more, that it is necessary for the comfort of the soul, and that the Lord Jesus needs to be revealed to a person. But on the other hand, our forefathers did not want to deny that the very first workings of faith that is even as Ruth in that land of Moab, that also these belong not just to the common operation of God's Spirit, but that actually belongs to true saving faith. No, it is not so in the experience,
But in the actuality, it is there that true saving faith that is planted. Most certainly, Ruth is made alive spiritually when she is in the land of Moab. That is where that new birth is taking place. So there is a difference between some of the English divines and our Dutch forefathers. Not in the doctrine itself, but in the manner in which they are speaking. And we wish to bring this forward so that when you would read such things, then you realize that it is a little different way of speaking, and yet in essence, that doctrine is the same. What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? That is the question of our fathers. And what is the answer? All things promised us in the gospel. There is no experience of salvation. There is no knowledge. There is no comfort of salvation outside of faith in Christ. There is no rest outside of faith in Christ. There is no reconciliation to God. There is no coming back unto the Father. There is no becoming in a legal way one of the true people of the Lord outside of faith in Christ as the mediator between God and His church. But after Christ reveals Himself to that people, as they are gleaning upon the field of His word, then the life of that people changes. No, we do not say that their case is solved. They still remain in themselves a stranger. They still remain in themselves an outsider. But there is a new object of faith. And they may know a new person. That is the person of the Son of God, who has revealed Himself to them as the only way of salvation. Or then they may remember something of His kindness, even though they are not one of His handmaidens. Even though they do not dare to say, young people, listen carefully. They do not dare to say, with so many who can say it so easy in the modern Christendom in which we live, that God is my Father. No. No, they still remain one on the outside. And yet, though they have, though they remain a Moabitess, though they remain a stranger in themselves, or yet with earnest longings, then their heart that has begun to go out after the Lord Jesus Christ Himself as the mediator of His people, thus that special object of faith that is no longer only that God in general, God as my creator, God as my maker, the true and the living God and His law, or not only God as the object of faith, but also Christ. Also the Son of God, because they have seen that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He has revealed Himself to them, that by Him alone they can be brought again into the bosom of the Father. Oh, then that way is open to them in a personal way. That it is possible also for me that I may indeed become a child of the Lord. Oh, then how necessary the Lord Jesus Christ becomes. Oh, then how precious that the Lord Jesus Christ becomes. Oh, then how suitable for themselves that the Lord Jesus Christ becomes as he that is the near kinsman, as he that has come in my own flesh and blood, that he has come exactly for that purpose, to reconcile sinners unto God. Oh, then how precious, white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000 is that blessed Son of God. Oh, here now is that special object of faith that our fathers are speaking about. All things promised us in the gospel. Oh, what a sweetness in the knowledge and in the revelation of him, in the opening of that way, when we could not find a way, and when we had closed the way. What a rest, what a peace already sometimes in the soul, in hoping against hope concerning that greater Boaz. What an access sometimes at the throne of grace, that the Lord, that he may do it. Also for me, congregation, are there a people who may know something also of this special object of that true saving faith? Let us sing first. Psalter 124, stanzas 1 through 4. My heart doth overflow. A goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King divine. Psalter 124, stanzas 1 through 4.
What is then necessary for a Christian to believe? Answer, all things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. The promises of the gospel. For whom are these? Congregation, then we have to say something here. And it is really not our intention at all to criticize. But some of us have been on Friday evening to the Trinitarian Bible Society meeting. And we must say that we may hear a very interesting exposition of the Word of God. But we hope you also understand that this was not from one who is from our own denomination, and that there really is a difference between their doctrine and our own. And so we hope that also you may discern a little bit when you are listening in such a way, especially when there is such an emphasis in the application and that concerning the covenant children. Because we read here about the promises of the gospel. And those who believe that there are three covenants, they say that those promises of the gospel, they are for the whole congregation. They are for everyone who is baptized, for everyone that makes confession of faith. And then we will see what you will end up doing with the promises of the gospel. And congregation, our fathers have not spoken in such a way. We read here, what is then necessary for a Christian to believe? And who is that? A Christian. That is God's people. That is God's own elect. Who can we truly call a Christian after the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but those who are truly engrafted into the Lord Jesus Christ? And it is to these, and to these alone, that the promises of the gospel belong. It was for them that that gospel was given. It is for them that that gospel was revealed. It was for them that that gospel is preached. There are no promises in the Word of God to the reprobate. No, we don't say that it is only for those who are converted. That is something else. Because we hope that there may be yet many in the midst of us who must today confess that I am unconverted, but that you yet lie under that seal of the election of the Lord. But we do not know who that the elect of the Lord are. And therefore there is not one of us all together that can say that there are no promises in the gospel for me. But as long as we lay outside
of the Lord Jesus Christ by a true faith, then we cannot claim any one of those promises for ourselves. And that is something that we see so rampant in the day that we live in, that men are taking what does not belong to them. Or our little children can understand what a fool that we would be when, as a child, we would begin to hope in a promise that our mother or our father has made to our brother. Boys and girls, you would never do that. When your father has promised something to your brother, then it is not to you. No, then you do not begin to hope in that promise. What do? You seek also a promise for yourself. But how many in our day are not holding on to promises which are propounded in general to a congregation and never given in a specific way? Oh, there came a time. There came a day in that life of Ruth that she also received the promise, and that concerned no one but herself. And that she may hear that promise out of that mouth of that Boaz. Then she went in to that floor where that Boaz was lying. And she besought him, "Spread thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And what is the answer of that Boaz? Oh, then he says to that Ruth, he says that there is a kinsman nearer than I. But if he will not do that kinsman's part, then I will do that part of that kinsman. And now Ruth may go home, and she may tell her mother-in-law what? Nothing about general promises, no. But she may tell her mother-in-law what he has said to me, and that he has promised me that if the other kinsman would not do it, that he would do that kinsman's part. And now what may that dear mother-in-law rejoice in that day? And she may encourage that Ruth. And she says, "Sit still, my daughter. Sit still. Then wait. Wait upon that promise that he has spoken to you. Because that man, he will not be in rest until he have finished that thing this day." Oh, there is a people who may receive it out of the mouth of the Lord, and that they may hear it out of his own mouth. "I am thy salvation, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, and then I will be with thee." Oh, a people that learn to plead upon that word, "Remember the word, O Lord, that thou hast spoken unto me." And then there are times that that can be so strong in the life of the people, and that it is just as if they have already received that promise. Oh, that is the Lamb, congregation. It is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. That is why that all the patriarchs and all those of the Old Testament may be saved But that same faith as that true church may be saved today. Before that ever took place, that the Lord Jesus had given his life upon that cursed tree. But he was slain before the foundation of the world. That is, that his word that he has given because of his faithfulness, that is so sure. It is sworn with an oath by him who cannot lie. And so that people, they may sometimes say, hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Congregation, faith that has its objects, that has special objects, by which that people, they may experience in their own soul, in a personal way, the salvation of the Lord. And when that faith is in exercise, then it is able to remove mountains. Then it can remove mountains of perplexities, mountains of doubts, mountains of fears, and mountains of temptations. And then, in the time already, sometimes that the people may possess everything when they possess but the promise. Why? Because faith, that is substance, is the substance of things hoped for. And it is the evidence of things which are not seen. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why then should a man hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Oh, that Ruth was not put to shame. It was impossible, impossible, that what that Boaz had spoken unto Ruth should not come to pass. And so that is still today for that true church, that people who may put their trust in him, the Bible says, they shall never be ashamed. A congregation, when our faith, or our so-called faith, has no proper object, and when we do not know, because man today, he says, you must believe, you must believe, you must believe. A congregation, ask them once, what must I believe? What must I believe? And when your faith that has no object, then you may question whether it truly is faith at all. True faith that believes something. And when that faith is true, then immediately you will know. You will know the object. You will understand, congregation, as a rational creature, what you believe. And what is the most important thing? That is not that we come to the highest steps of faith. That is not that we come to be able to speak about the great things. It is a wonder. It is a wonder if we may receive the smallest bit. It is a wonder if we may, in that land of Moab, is that in your heart, young people? Receive a jealousy, a holy jealousy, for the portion of that people. There is the beginning. That is the beginning. We do not say it does not need to come further, no. Because it can still go two ways. But the beginning, that is with that holy jealousy. And already then the Lord is working out his salvation by a true and by a saving faith. But now, people of the Lord, for the comfort of it.
for the comfort of it. Oh, to be able to say, He is mine and I am His. Is that not a blessing so to be sought by you? Oh, may you be satisfied when you have heard something, when you have seen something. May you be satisfied. Oh, may you rest upon your knees when you have, and you may not deny in your life, that even that special object of faith that has been given unto you, and that you may see that way opened, and that it has become possible for you in all your impossibility through a sovereign grace of God. Oh, what a wonder, what a rest already, what a peace. Then what must it be? What must it be to experience that the Lord, and out of His mouth you may hear it, I am married unto you. Oh, a blessing, people of the Lord, to be sought for. May the Lord give the knowledge of true saving faith in our midst, in its beginnings, and the furtherings of it in the life of that true church, to the comfort of your soul and to the glory of His great and holy name. Amen. Oh, Lord, oh, everything that has to come from Thee, Lord, it is that true saving faith. And when it has been spoken to my neighbor, oh Lord, then I can't receive it for myself. It is so personal. Lord, remember each one of us. We cannot do without that faith. Oh, we are so wretched in ourselves. Convert us unto Thee. Forgive our many sins in preaching, in listening. Crown it with Thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 439, stanzas 1 and 3. O Israel's God, how good Thou art to all the true and pure of heart, though paths of sin of saints are fraught with evil. Thou showest favor to Thy people. While faith sank low, I hardly knew that Thou art Israel's keeper true. When in my grief I nurtured doubt, I well nigh slipped from ways devout. 1 and 3 of Psalter 439. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.